Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
30-15K to raise awareness for it.
Howard Simon.
Good morning, Howie. How are you, Mike?
Okay, see, you already blew the interview. Nobody calls me that around here. Nobody knows that's what I'm referred to.
Jeremy White.
You're the pilot and he's the co-pilot, so I'm just trying to give him some love.
There you go. Yeah.
And make him feel good.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hang on, no headphones on. Be right there. Okay.
8-0
Right, hold on. Hang on. Okay. Got it. Ready to go.
8-0
Ready to go. Yeah.
I was watching. It was 4. And I thought, well, you know, I think I'm pretty safe here. Shots were 25-10. And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty safe to tune this out and, you know, check in next time. 8. And Barzal should be suspended for a game.
Yeah. I got to go look at the highlight. I was going to say, you didn't I don't know who it was. Somebody... Wyshynski? That doesn't matter. Somebody tweeted out, you know, don't go crazy in the third, trying to run at people, save your energy for game six, all that. I thought maybe you might watch to see if there was general mayhem in the final period with the game out of hand.
Well, one thing that I noticed in this game last night was, so Tampa scored 3 power play goals. They scored 1 to make it 4-0, 1 to make it 6-0, and 1 to make it 7-0. And you know how we talk about the playoffs sometimes, that you've got, they don't call penalties. Well, what do you say to this? Look at this. They called 6 penalties on the Lightning. I'm sorry, 6 penalties on the Islanders and 2 on the Lightning. They were all called after it was 3-0.
Yeah, because they didn't have to worry about deciding the game.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. Like,
right.
I'm watching, and as it's 3-0, and these penalties are, you know, the Islanders, Clutterbuck, and they got called for cross-checking or boarding, and there's an interference call, and I thought, look at this. These guys are calling the games. And I thought, you know what?
Score.
I'm going to go check the box score. I need to know if a single penalty was called in the first period, and it wasn't. So, yeah, once the game's out of hand, like, now we'll call penalties.
Yeah.
Now we're good to go. If this game's 0-0 in the third period, not a single one of those gets called probably.
Probably not.
Probably
I think it would
not.
Have to be a pretty egregious, like, something really nasty.
Maybe Barzal gets called.
Yeah,
maybe.
Cross-check, right?
Maybe. Yeah. Probably. Let's go with probably.
I got to go look at it. So you think he would... You're the NHL. It's 3-2. The Islanders need to win or their season is over.
Odds,
they suspend Barzal.
0.
Yeah.
Again, this is where I'm going to go back to one of my vows. Even though I broke one of my vows yesterday with the Seattle hockey team.
You said the
team,
K word.
It won't happen again. One of my other vows is not to take the NHL seriously on suspensions. So, no, he will not get suspended.
You know what? We're going to need like a stat of the year running list on this.
On my vows?
Never pick the Bills to beat Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mention the K word. Never trust the NHL on suspensions. I think I hit the main ones, but I'm sure
those
there
the
are others.
Ones.
Those are the big ones. All right.
No.
I look forward to, you know, when you have the speech with your kids, it won't necessarily be about the birds and the bees. It'll be about vows as a sports fan.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be awkward. I'll have to tell them the Seattle hockey team's nickname so they know how bad it is so then that they don't want to say it.
Well, I did see one of the Twins had a, is it called a onesie kit? The soccer?
Yeah, sure, what, sure.
Is that Arsenal? Who was that?
It was Arsenal, yes.
So, you know, you could get a onesie for you-know-who, and since you're, you know, you're one of your twins was wearing a sports-related onesie the other day.
Yeah, why would I do that?
Because you're a marvelous dad.
Why would I get it to a sports team I don't like?
How do you know you don't like them? They don't even have a roster yet.
Yeah, because they're going to finish ahead of the Sabres. I'm going to be mad about it.
What if they're fun to watch and they put together a good team and they're good for the sport, you know, like Vegas was?
Sounds great. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, all right, fine. Sorry about that. You know, somebody tweeted in, yeah, you're right. I got here at 4, like a little after 4:30, believe it or not. 90 minutes later, I still didn't have headphones on ready to do the show. Somebody tweeted in at Brayton, death, taxes, and Howard having to fix, turn on, adjust his microphone, headphones, first thing, first segment. Yep, Brayton will attest to this. I'm sorry. I apologize. I do show prep. I get headlines. I put the headlines up on the whiteboard. I do everything. And then when he rolls the open, I realize, oh, crap, I forgot to put my headphones in. And that's why I'm always scrambling at the start of the show. Sorry about that. I get in early, too.
You know, it's not like the show starts at a set time.
No.
It's actually the only segment we hit on time the entire day.
I mean, it actually doesn't even start at 6 o'clock. I mean, it starts after 6 because Brayton's got to do the update, so I even have an extra 2-3 minutes to get ready for the show, and I'm sorry, man. It's just headphones. Honestly, I don't even think about until I hear the open roll. I'm like, oh yeah, I got to put headphones on. All right, if you were here, it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I would say that I want to give you a pass anytime that you're coming down off of a DeGrom performance. You know, you get a little bit more freedom to go. Like, what happened last night? Like, I got to watch DeGrom. And then for 24 hours, you just get to kind of bask in that a little bit and live it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He's pitching again Saturday, just so you know.
I'm telling you, the stats of the year on that guy.
Yeah.
He's got stats of the decade.
Right. They just keep adding to them. I've got a whole sheet here of like 5 different stats on him.
The best thing I saw yesterday was something I had not yet seen before. And you clued me into it. So this is really great. I'm really, you know, buttering you up this morning.
I had a clue about something. Are you sure you have the facts correct?
You're ahead of the curve because I had not yet seen this. And you are the first person I'd seen write this word, degrominating.
Yeah. It's both a verb. What's a description word? Is it an adjective? I forget.
Yeah.
But it's dominating, degrominating, but when he pitches, he's just, it's that thing he does, we call it degrominating. It's a verb. It's like an action term.
Yeah, he's degrominant.
Yep. Degromination, degrominant, but when he's pitching and he's pitching well and the game is going on, he is degrominating.
Love it.
Like you're doing what you're doing, man. He's degrominating, yeah.
My favorite stat line from last night was how he had, they had more umpire spider tech checks than hits allowed. They checked him twice, and he'd only given up one hit.
By the one hit he gave up was because the 2 outfielders didn't communicate, and the ball dropped between them on the warning track, and I was yelling at the television set because you're ruining my DeGrom game. You guys need to explain a stat to me.
Okay.
Have either one of you heard of something called ERA Plus?
No.
Right. I got to look it up. Right? ERA
probably,
Plus?
But no.
ERA Plus. Okay, because they had a stat on the telecast yesterday. I got to read what this is. ERA plus, simply abbreviated ERA, pitching stat, adjusts the pitcher's earned run average according to a pitcher's ballpark, and the ERA of the pitcher's league.
Okay.
Okay, well, whatever that means. DeGrom's ERA plus, not stat of the day yet. I got a whole bunch of DeGrom stuff, so save it. His ERA plus is 686. No player since 1947 finished with a higher mark than Trevor Bauer last year, 292. So the highest, whatever ERA plus is, 292. DeGrom's at 686. I don't know what it means, but it's 686 is a much larger number than 292 based on my elementary school math. I just don't know what the stat means.
Okay, so it's according to the pitcher's ballpark in the era of the pitcher.
Yeah, it's an adjusted number taking into account the ballpark in case the ballpark favors batters or it's a pitcher's park and the ERA of the league you're pitching in.
You know what that sounds a lot like? It sounds a lot like goals saved above average, where, you know, a goalie that plays for the Islanders doesn't have the same job as a goalie that plays for the Ducks or whatever.
Right. Well, you're seeing fewer shots and, less high danger chances.
You would adjust it, say, well, this team only gives up this many goals regularly. I'm not saying that's exactly how goals saved above average works. That's more charted on where the shots are coming from and all that. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, advanced statistics that say, hey, if you are dominant in a hitter's park, that is more impressive than being the exact same amount of dominant in a pitcher's park.
I got it. All right, I can handle that one. Thank you for explaining that to me. Because I saw that yesterday, and I thought, wow, that's a really impressive stat. I don't know what it means, but it's really good.
Like, think of, you know, most home runs to right field in baseball history. If you're a Yankee, like, that's
right.
a little different right. than if you play for who's got the deepest right field wall.
Right-handed batters at Fenway hitting a bunch of home runs over the monster. I mean, sure, right. you got to get it up in the air, but it's not that far to hit it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, thanks for explaining that, man.
Look, we're just solving all the little problems in all the stats.
Yeah, I don't. I'm just gonna tell you right now. What's today's date? June what?
22nd. It is this. I think it's the solstice.
Summer, is it summer solstice today? All right,
maybe,
cool.
Maybe it was the other day. My wife always knows when it is.
I'm just going to tell you right now, I will not survive baseball season. I'm
it
just
going to
tell you
sorry.
Right now. Sunday was? Okay.
Yeah, it was Sunday.
I wanted to say this now. I'm going to apologize for any future outbursts, moodiness. I got yelled at by my son yesterday because I am stressing out.
About
the Mets being in first place. So I'm just going to say that now, that I'm not going to be a basket case the rest of the year. I apologize if it carries over into on-air presence.
Okay.
And anybody who knows me, if I'm standoffish, it's because if the Mets lose back-to-back games, I'm going to be a nasty human being. I just want to say that right now.
It's intense, huh? The Mets?
It's too intense for June. As my son said to me, Dad, it's mid-June. Calm down. Okay.
They got a four-game lead.
Yeah, see, that don't do. See, he said that, and he just, Dad, they got a big lead in a bad division. I'm like, shh. Yeah, I was really freaking out yesterday about the games because, you know, they're in first place, and it's the Mets, and and it's June. Yeah, I don't know how to handle all this stuff. So, yeah, I'm just going to say it now. I'm going to be really difficult.
Playing the Braves right now?
Huh? Yeah.
Series?
Yeah, it is a big series. It's a division series, and the Nats are playing better, and the Phillies are coming in this weekend. And, I mean, the Braves have got to figure out their game. They're going to turn it around at some point. And every day, the Mets, you know, you're familiar with, like, warehouses that have, like, that sign,
days
without an accident and all that? The Mets will now have a sign that says days without a Mets player getting hurt. I don't think it's gone more than three this year. Every day they play, they got a guy hurt in the first game. They got a guy hurt in the second game. One of their pitchers looks like he's going to have Tommy John surgery. I'm not really not handling first place and the stress very well. So, again, my apologies to everybody else.
They're the only team in their division over 500.
Yeah, I know. And that's why, see, you might look at that normally and go, they're going to cruise. I would look at it and go, the other teams are all going to get better. Except the Marlins, maybe. So, anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to digress into, because we got football to talk about. We got full stadiums to talk about, and I've got a question for you.
Okay.
You're going to fire up. You're doing the camper again this year, by the way?
Oh, yes.
All right, so you got to dust that baby off, get it out of the storage shed. That's a really big shed, by the way. What did you miss the most? Now that full capacity is announced, what did you miss the most about not being at the stadium on game day? So the whole game day experience, the game, tailgating, whatever. What did you miss the most about not being there?
Tailgate.
All right.
That's it. Tailgate. Yeah. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say that.
The atmosphere in the building, the roar of the crowd, a big
all that's
touchdown.
At the tailgate. The atmosphere is at the tailgate, the roars and stuff. I mean, that's before and after the tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
But that might not be a good answer because we kind of had the ability to still tailgate.
I'd partly go, really? You did the game? I mean, like 70,000 people and the Bills winning? But, I mean, I understand the significance of the tailgating and how that kind of sets the tone for the day. And that's just a great party atmosphere for everybody. So I thought you might go with the stadium atmosphere, but I get it. Somebody else tweeted in, same thing. The early morning tailgate, 7 a.m.-ish.
Yeah.
Breakfast, the feeling you get walking through the tunnel, going to your seats, especially on a sunny day, and the anticipation and buzz in the air. Can't wait. 82 days, David tweeted it. So he said tailgate too.
Or even the mornings, the temperature that it is right now. It's chilly out there this morning.
Perfect football day.
It really is. It feels like the kind of morning, you know, the sun would come up over the stadium and be like, all right, here we go. It's game day. The thing – maybe the thing that I missed the most is something that we've never really I mean people that didn't grow up in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I missed the most. Being a fan of a team in a stadium that scores points like it's a party. And the Bills haven't been that since, like, the Bledsoe Bills.
Yeah.
The Chan Gailey Fitz Bills
half
had like
a
month.
Fitz, yeah.
Had like a month of it.
Right, yeah.
But
like three or four home games, I think.
Yeah, the party that it would have been every time that the offense is just ripping touchdowns and just, oh, there's another one for Diggs. And, you know, you turn to your buddy and, like, I dare them to stop us. I dare anybody to slow this train down because
Allen just ran in for another touchdown. Place is going nuts, you know.
Exactly. Like the vibe in the stadium last year, if it had been a full stadium, would have been probably like, sorry to compare to the Sabres, but like the 05-06 Sabres, no 06-07, where, oh no, this is the best team.
Right.
And this is the best offense and they're going to score. Oh, I'm sorry, they're down 7 points in the second half. I'm not worried about that. They're going to win by 20.
Yeah.
You know, games like that, the Seattle game last year would have been a party. The Rams game would have been incredible, of course. A party in the first half and then a comeback victory over and over again. That's what I think about is, you know, a full stadium for Taron Johnson, right? Like those moments, those games.
The game stunk, but the New England was not a fun game, but the Newton fumble and the recovery would have been, the place would have been going bananas.
Right.
But it was an ugly game.
It was an ugly game, but that one would have been a great example of this is the time that we prove, or the Bills prove, New England doesn't own this anymore. Right. And sure, it's Brady's gone, but like, no. This runs through the Bills now. Yeah, so that's probably the right answer on what you miss the most. But, you know, the tailgate and the families and friends and smokers and the people that pull in with their crazy massive setups and make tons of food, you know, that stuff is pretty special too.
Yeah, I do think about, like you said, because you have not experienced it yet, just the going to – it was always the tailgate was great, and I'm not saying it isn't, but it was always the tailgate is great because the teams weren't that good. So the tailgate was the highlight of the day for way too many years around here. And now you would have been able to go and enjoy, like you said, enjoy the team and see this talented young quarterback and this elite-level wide receiver that you picked up and this – explosive, powerful offense and all this stuff and win a party atmosphere and all these things. I thought about that. I know we've talked about it a lot with the Taron Johnson pick six. Just a singular moment over the course of an entire season. And, you know, I always think, what would it have been like? And I wouldn't have been there. You would have. I always think about what would it have been like inside the stadium if fans were there. But to the larger picture, yeah, I think, you know, you and many others might have been tailgating and waiting for your very first home Bills playoff game. Mm-hmm. Like what that day would have been like when you wake up and it's game day and you realize, wow, man, they're playing the Colts in a playoff game today at the stadium and I get to go. Like that would have been an amazing experience. And that's what I think about the atmosphere in the stadium, because when they're rolling and the place is jumping and they're scoring and the shout song is playing and everybody's having a blast, like it is... where's Van Miller? Fandemonium. It is an amazing feeling in that stadium when the Bills are rolling and you've never experienced it. You've actually never gone into a season with high expectations like this as a Bills fan in your lifetime. And that for me, above everything else, I think how cool it is to be in there when they're really, really good. The Kelly offense. And now what we hope will be a long stretch with the Josh Allen-led offense. Man, that was a blast, and I wish fans could have enjoyed that last year. Knock on wood, you'll get that kind of season again this year.
Yeah. Feels like every game last year was kind of like that Bledsoe to Peerless Price in the snow, Jim Kelly hugs Peerless Price game.
Yeah.
That we remember from 2001, right? 2000, Bledsoe's first season, 2001. And they win that game. They're exciting. They're fun. It's Miami. It's the snow. That game stuck out in the drought as one of the highlights.
Right.
And fun. Like last year, that was just on tap every single week.
Mm-hmm. And I get, like I said, I get the tailgate. Look, no matter how many times in all the years, and I don't get to the games anymore. I just hunker down in my man cave because I'm nuts. But all those years going to the games, whether it was pregame with us, although that isn't the same because I used to drive to the stadium at 9 o'clock in the morning to be there for a 10 o'clock pregame. But the you know, you look at it, Jeremy, from the tailgate experience. My game day experience was always fun as you approach the stadium. Maybe you drive up Abbott Road and you begin to see the tailgates. You begin to see the parties. You see all the people walking up Abbott Road with wearing all their Bills gear as you get closer to, you know, One Bills Drive and to turn into the media parking, and you see everybody hanging around. And even when we were doing the pregame shows, sitting there doing the pregame shows, by the Bills store, and everybody milling about, walking around, having fun, meeting friends, singing, chanting, shouting, let's go Bills, looking at all the Bills jerseys, just Zubas. Just that whole, like, to me, I would think that I miss that whole game day experience. There's nothing like waking up in the morning, driving to the stadium on a game day and seeing all the Bills fans going, this is really cool. We have an NFL team in our town. Now it's, this is really cool. We have one of the best teams in the NFL in our town, which yep. is awesome. Well, it's going to be awesome now that they're back.
It's one of the little secrets about this year is, will it be like, I mentioned the 05-06 Sabres and the 06-07 Sabres. 06-07 was fun, yeah. but also not as fun.
Very stressful. Yeah,
yeah right, exactly. Right. So you wonder about that.
The expectation, sure. I mean, things change. You know, from a year ago, things have changed. Now, you know, you're everybody's going to be going back into the stadium expecting wins and expecting a Super Bowl contender. To your point about 05-06, that was the Sabres made being in the building. I mean, it was still fun to watch them at home on TV, but the Sabres made being in the building like it was an appointment thing to do. Like it was, this is an experience like no other. You know, being there as opposed to watching at home, listening to it at home, made it so much fun. It was a team, you know, and then they win games, especially maybe, you know, an overtime win in the playoffs, and you don't want to leave the building. You just want to stay there and keep cheering for the team because they're so much fun to watch. You're having a great time. You don't want it to end. You know, I hope, I think you'll experience the same thing with the Bills. You'll never get enough. You're going to be enjoying watching these guys play, watching them win, and being at the stadium will be like must-see, it's not must-see TV, must-see firsthand experience, and you'll just want to keep, you know, you just want to stay there and soak it up all day. Mm-hmm. That you could experience next season, and you weren't able to last season unless you were one of 13,000 fans or whatever it was that would have been to a playoff game.
Yeah, full attendance, pretty great. Yeah. And the Blue Jays are doing that. By the way, they had a flash sale. Tickets for like $29.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah, because yeah. they're open. They have more tickets available for sale for starting Thursday, actually.
Yeah, full capacity going Thursday, which, you know, I went to the opener, which was a lot of fun to be there with fans. I'd imagine that being at a full capacity Blue Jays game coming up soon will be a lot of fun. I mean, even Bison's Salem Field, the last time I was there with a near full capacity, I mean, Independence Eve gets sold out. Mm-hmm. Star Wars yep. night gets pretty full too, right? Sold out. But it would have been Strasburg, 14,000.
Right.
And how fun that was when he was there. So, you know, it's the feeling of being out with fans and watching sports with fans. If you can get a Vladdy home run with, you know, the entire place filled, that is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's awesome. We kind of wondered. I told you right after the opening day, how soon can we fill the place? Yeah. Answer, it took 20 days.
Yeah.
That's it. 20 days later.
And Friday is Vlad Jr. bobblehead day, too. So if you want to, I don't know. I assume tickets are still available. I believe it's Baltimore in town. Friday, I believe the first 7,000 fans will get a special Vlad Jr. bobblehead. So giveaways are coming back to the stadium, too. How cool is that? It is Tuesday. What did you miss the most about not being at Bills games? We'll start there today, since the Bills came out yesterday and announced full capacity at the stadium next season. You will not need a vaccination to go. However, there will still be, I believe, some masking rules for sure at the Jays game for unvaccinated customers. And I believe it's going to be the same at the Bills games. But you don't have to show proof of vaccination to get into the stadium. So what do you miss the most? What did you miss the most, I should say? 803-0550 to join us. I mentioned David's tweet. We'll get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Bond, Shannon, and King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. normalcy. Like, that's good. Like, somebody tweeted in normalcy. It's one word, and I guess it actually says a lot. Patrick said $13 beers. And thank you, Justin, who tweeted in about the Mets. Howard, Mets first place stress happens as much as a pandemic. You are excused, my friend. Thank you, Justin. It's the Mets in first in June and Haley's Comet. I think that happened once every 75 years. 803-0550 to join us this morning. Hey, if there's something else on your mind, whatever. That's cool. Bring it in. We always love talking sports with all of you. 888-550-2550 to join us. WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Make the game a little bit easier. You know, it's crazy when you actually look at the statistics and you can see the caused timeouts, the delays of games, the illegal motions, the false starts that are caused in our stadium from our fans. The more help we can get on defense, you know, we're going to take it, because we're getting every single offense's best shot.
That's good that you played that there, Brayton, because I did want to make that my next question for Jeremy. That's Harrison Phillips, by the way, who was on last week with Jeremy. If you missed it, it is in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. Full capacity and at the stadium next year. And I believe all but one team in the NFL has announced plans for full capacity next season. Last check, I believe it was Indianapolis. Don't know if that's changed in the last week or so. That had not yet announced that. But, Jeremy, we've gotten tweets and calls to the station occasionally about whether or not this will hurt Josh Allen and the Bills' offense on road games. There'll be crowd noise now, so it's going to be tougher to communicate. I won't limit it to the Bills. I'll just go to the bigger picture, since offense was scoring at a record pace at some point last season. Do you believe the return of crowds around the league will be bad for the offense, good for the defense, will have any impact on points and how the games are played out? Will it be harder for offenses around the league now?
It should be. Right? It should definitely be. The fact that we saw, let me find that one chart I had about how many offenses scored 50 touchdowns this last season.
Hmm.
Because the number was big.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
well, you didn't have to worry about silent count. You know, you didn't have to worry about offensive linemen talking to each other to, you know, change maybe a protection plan or anything like that. Quarterbacks being able to yell things out. Actually, you had to worry about disguising things more because the defense could hear everything you were saying, but you didn't have to fight the crowd to yell out to your wide receivers or anything.
Yeah. So 50 touchdown seasons just last year in 2020. The following team scored 50 touchdowns last year or more: Green Bay, Tennessee, New Orleans, Tampa, Buffalo, Minnesota,
really?
Huh. Kansas City, Baltimore.
That's eight, I think.
It's a lot of teams that scored 50 touchdowns. By comparison, the year before, 2019,
Kansas City,
Baltimore, Baltimore, San Francisco, Tennessee. Kansas City
didn't. Wow.
No, they dropped back from 66 in 2018 to 46 in 2019, and then they were back up above 50 in 2020. 66 touchdowns in 2018.
The Chiefs were playing 16 games that year, right? It wasn't 25 games or anything for them.
Second highest touchdown output ever. Do you know who number one is?
Most
offensive touchdowns scored in a season.
Brady and his revenge tour?
No. Brady's revenge tour would have been 2012, 59. The number one offensive touchdown performance from a team was 71 touchdowns.
Oh, a Peyton Manning Colts team?
Close. Peyton Manning's Denver team.
Oh, really? Okay.
The team that lost in the Super Bowl to Seattle.
Yeah,
2013.
Yeah. Right.
71 touchdowns.
That's amazing. In 16 games.
So that's, I look at that, and J.J. Zacharyson, who's a fantasy football writer, reporter, all that, analyst, he had this list of teams that had scored 50 touchdowns and said, regression is coming for all these teams. And it doesn't mean that, you know, the Bills scored X amount of touchdowns. It doesn't mean they have to be bad. It just means it's very difficult to add to your total. The Bills could go from 56 to 52, and that would be coming back to earth a little bit. Of all the teams that have ever scored 50 touchdowns or more in a season, only three of them have added to their total the following year.
Right. Well, Baltimore dropped back last year. I mean, they had the MVP 2 years ago when they had the 50-plus touchdowns, right? But they would assume they would have had a – well, you can check that, I guess. I would assume
they went to 51 last year. So they did drop back not that much, from 58 to 51.
Yeah.
So sometimes a team will drop only 4 touchdowns. There have been some teams that drop 20 touchdowns. Just the idea is, if you're above 50, it's like golf, it's like bowling. You know, there's only so – there's this level you can get to where, hey, you had a really great day. The idea you're going to get better is really – it's really tough to do. So the Bills could score, you know, 48 touchdowns. Last year's Chiefs scored 46. Or, I'm sorry, 2019's Chiefs scored 46. They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So maybe they had a little more balance. They're a little better on defense. Whatever. Maybe score effects, games, blah, blah, blah. So that's a long way to answer your question. What will crowds do? Yeah, they'll make it harder on offenses. I think last year is a good look that offenses had their way with defenses because you had 8 teams get 50 touchdowns or more.
But you don't think I'm trying to think. I was thinking about this now about Brian Daboll and what the offense was last year. And it was a wide open offense, a lot of 4 receiver sets, empty backfields rather, you know, passing, all that other stuff. You don't think like that's the identity of the offense, regardless of whether there's 70,000 fans on the road or no fans on the road, right? I mean, it's much easier to do that, to run that offense when you don't have to battle crowd noise. It's easier for everybody, the quarterback, his receivers, the linemen. You don't think, is Brian Daboll affected in his play calling because of now you go on the road, there's lots of crowd noise? You know, I don't think they would shift, tweak, change the offensive philosophy, right? Based on, well, it was so easy to do it last year, guys. Nobody was yelling at us. We could do anything we want on offense. This year we might have to be a little bit different.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you are who you are, who we thought you are, Dennis Green.
Yeah, whether it's as effective. I mean, how many teams, you know, change your plays? You change how you get off the line, I guess. You change your communication. Maybe you limit the number of checks if you think you can't hear.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. There are, you know, there's that side of it, the penalties. Then there's the element, there are some fans, some Bills fans, that I don't know if you'll hear from them, that they send messages to me on Twitter sometimes that they wonder about Josh, you know, because he's a guy that obviously plays with a lot of emotion, pretty hyped up. I mean, he got a penalty for flexing on a team. Was it the Rams?
Yeah, I think it was.
He flexed on in an empty stadium.
Or, you know what, Rams or maybe Chargers?
Chargers, that was it. It was, yeah. Chargers. Yeah, he got a penalty for flexing on the Chargers in an empty stadium. So, you know.
Like the swagger, though. Like,
yeah,
the swagger.
Exactly. If there's a game where it's 73,000 and, you know, they score to go up big and they're 10-0 or something, or, you know, 9-1, he might get amped up. I think that's part of what people like about him an awful lot.
Yeah. No, I don't worry about that. I guess this is the play within yourself or stay within yourself discussion, and either don't get overhyped or overamped because you're at home and you're feeding off the energy of 70,000. And also, I guess, when you go on the road, right, everybody's booing you. Sometimes that fires up. Players feed off the energy on the road because of the fans that are booing them. I'm not worried. I don't know. Maybe tell me I should. I'm not worried that Josh overdoes it in either of those scenarios. I think he's hit a point where I think he can handle all that stuff. I would, if I was worried about anything, I guess I would be worried more about how does he handle overall higher expectations. A guy who was in the MVP discussion last year and what we expect from him next year. If he gets the big contract before the season begins, is that going to be, you know, in his head, I've got to get 45 touchdowns because they're paying me $100 and whatever million. I'd worry more about that than the crowd noise and him getting too amped up and trying to put on a show or any of that stuff. I don't think that's going to be a problem for Josh Allen this coming season.
Yeah.
And I think the offense, you know, offense have operated in noisy stadiums on the road forever, except for 2020. So I wouldn't anticipate, sure, maybe scoring drops a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be a severe slide back for the Bills or other top offensive teams around the league. They've always gotten in, they've always operated in those situations. It just changed for 1 year. We're taking your calls on full capacity at the stadium back next season, and you can let us know what you miss the most about being at the stadium. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Dave tweeted in and said, everything. It's a happy place. And yes, it should be for many times, many games next season. Whatever else you want to get to, that's fine too. Hey, on the show today, we are going to be talking about football, about the Bills in particular. Joe Marino, who we've had on many times on this station, now has a Locked On Bills podcast, one of the many podcasts you can get through Odyssey. Joe DiBiase from our station, of course, does Locked On Sabres. So we're going to let Joe talk a little bit about Locked On Bills if you're not familiar with the podcast and Bills and NFL stuff. That's coming up at 7:30. If you were listening yesterday, we're kind of getting into that hole. So it looks like they're going to trade Eichel. So let's start finding out who's available on some of the teams that are rumored to be in the Eichel sweepstakes. Today's stop is Minnesota. So we'll talk about the Wild with Judd Zolgad from Score North at 9 o'clock. And our old friend, I don't mean because he's old, I mean because we've been friends with him for quite some time, our old friend Mike Robitaille is going to join us at 9:30 this morning. It was recently announced that Mike is going to be in the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame. So we're excited about that. And we'll talk a little hockey with Mr. Robitaille coming up at 9:30. Phone line's always open to join us, 803-0550. Hey, the pandemic has created an unprecedented time for our nonprofit community. And this year, Western New York nonprofits need your support more than ever before to help the organizations out. So the Bills and Sabres are teaming up, and they're going to host the first annual Give 716. It'll be July 15th and 16th. It'll help raise money for charities around Western New York. Now, if you're a charitable organization, you are encouraged to register anybody in the 8 Western New York counties, register by visiting give716.org. Again, Give 716. It'll help Western New York nonprofits raise money that are critical to the continuation of their very important work in our community. And if you'd like to register your charity, you can do so right now by going to give716.org. All right, just checking the calendar here for Jacob DeGrom's scheduled starts for the next 2 weeks. So I'll pass along my stats of the day. It's the same guy, but just multiple stats. Sure, I'm biased. I'm wearing my Mets windbreaker today. So the stats of the day brought to you by Cows of Buffalo. Get moving with Cows of Buffalo. Container on wheels, mobile storage. Rent account today, 592-3343. I need something to on my phone. I need, maybe one of you two guys can do this. I need a like an idiot-proof reminder when DeGrom is pitching and it's a 5 o'clock start because I missed the first two innings of the game yesterday. Anyway, Jacob DeGrom has now gone 12 straight starts with one or no earned runs allowed. That breaks a tie with Bob Gibson and is now the longest streak within a single season since earned runs became an official stat. Mm. Which, by the way, was in 1913. I think Woodrow Wilson was president back then, right? Taft in 08. Yeah. 1913. He has not allowed a run in the last 30 innings pitched. His 0.50 ERA is the lowest over the first 12 starts of the season since 1913. And he still has more runs batted in, 6, than earned runs given up this season, 4. Through 12 starts. And finally, here's his stat line in 12 starts. He has thrown 72 innings. He has given up 27 hits in 72 innings. 9 walks, 117 strikeouts. And opponents are hitting 113 on the season against Jacob DeGrom.
What's the Mets' record?
They've actually won 7 straight DeGrom starts.
Okay.
You know, it used to be they'd either he'd get a no decision or they'd lose 1-0. They're actually now winning Jacob DeGrom starts for a change.
Because I had a stat for you on DeGrom from Ryan Spader, baseball analyst and author, who wrote that DeGrom has a 1.86 ERA over his last 85 games, 1.86, and the Mets are 42-43 in those games.
I was going to say it's a 500 record, right. Yeah, it's in large part, but this is the best stretch. I mean, I don't know this. I'd have to check his game-by-game log and their results, but I'm guessing this has got to be the longest win streak in DeGrom starts since his domination began, which goes back to the 2018 season when he won the Cy Young. I mean, he's in position to win three Cy Young awards in 4 years. And I mean, he's got a really good case for the MVP award, especially if the Mets make the playoffs and he has these stupid, crazy numbers. I don't know that I'll have a 0.5 ERA at the end of the year, but if he's got, you know, anything sub two, and if he breaks Gibson's record, which is 1-1-2, I think he would, I think, win the MVP award. So yeah, it really is. And I know I'm biased, but you know what? We can say this about any great player. Look, I'm not a big Blue Jays fan, but you know, you go to a game at Salem Field, guess what? Don't miss any at bat from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He's having an MVP type season. There's a buzz, there's an excitement. And with DeGrom, you know, I did it again yesterday. All right, Mets, you're up at bat. Great. Score runs quickly. Get the hell out of the way. Put DeGrom back out on the mound. It's just that exciting to watch this guy pitch. It really is phenomenal. I texted Jeremy earlier, and if you're almost stunned. If he gives up a run, you are completely stunned and surprised that someone actually scored a run off this guy. Well, 30 straight innings of no runs would explain that stat. Happy Tuesday. Thanks for hanging out with us. We opened up a little bit of football, opened up with the Bills announcing full capacity for this coming season. So what did you miss the most about not being at the stadium? Jeremy's mentioned tailgating. John tweeted in. We'll get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Bond, Shannon, and King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. John tweeted in, walking out from the concourse to the field level and seeing the field for the first time and realizing you're at an NFL game. And next season, you will realize you're at a game where you're probably going to see a lot of points scored by the Bills offense. 803-0550, you want to share your thoughts on that? You have any opinions you want to chime in on with the Bills in full capacity? Jays are going to full capacity at Salem Field starting Thursday with their series with the Orioles. If there's anything else you want to get to, Stanley Cup playoffs, we're going to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court ruling and how that affects college athletics going forward. You can always join us at 803-0550 or 888-552-550 this morning on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.